Dee's pulse and flicker finally resting on the number 24.
Previously, I'm 24.
Tony Almeida from CTU has just informed us that they were unable to confiscate this Bordilla virus in Mexico.
This man Amador, where is he now?
Latest working theory is that Amador has this virus and is headed back here to Los Angeles.
I'll let you live. Tell me what you know.
Anytime Amador does business on the West Coast, he washes his deal through a man named Alvers.
How does Amador contact this Alvers?
I don't know. I've never met him.
Hello?
Marcus, it's me. I'll be there in an hour.
You got the virus?
Yes. Just be ready.
I will be.
I've got to go see Julia Milliken.
No, I don't want you to go anywhere near her or Alan tonight.
You think I'm scared of you?
My parents!
Don't.
What are you doing?
Don't.
Sherry?
This is your way out.
Way out?
No, there's one thing you're gonna have to be really clear about when the authorities come around questioning you. I was never here.
The following takes place between 2 a.m. and 3 a.m.
British Sky Broadcasting presents 24, starring Kiefer Sutherland as Jack Bauer, Alicia Cuthbert as Kim Bauer, Carlos Bernard as Tony Almeida, James Badge Dale as Chase Edmonds, and Dennis Haysbert as President Palmer. Created by Joel Surnow and Robert Cochran. Voiced by Tim Bruce on behalf of MCS Agency. The U.S. Navy transport plane carrying Jack, Chase, and a captive Nina lands at Point Mugu Naval Air Station, Los Angeles, and is met by a convoy of CTU operatives from Division. Jack is the first to emerge from a hatchway in the side of the plane, followed by a handcuffed Nina.
Chief Bauer,
yeah.
I'm Jason Harrison from Division. This man will be escorting the prisoner back to CTU.
She doesn't leave my sight.
I know. You can accompany her in the lead van. Let's go.
Harrison's cell phone rings.
Harrison? Yeah, he's right here. Agent Edmonds. It's Chloe O'Brien from your office.
Hey, Jack, I'll take another car.
Okay.
Yeah, Chloe.
Chase, they found out.
Who found out what?
Everybody here found out about Angela. They all know she's your daughter.
What? How?
The babysitter flaked. She had a family emergency and brought her here.
You brought Angela into CTU?
What was I supposed to do? Your sister's out of town. There is no one else. You have no idea what I've been through in the past couple of hours.
Okay. Chloe, thank you for covering. I appreciate it. But where is Angela right now?
She's downstairs with Marcy until you get back.
Did Kim find out? Chloe, did Kim find out?
Yes. Kim found out.
How'd she react?
Gosh, Chase, I think she's kind of pissed.
All right, listen, I'm coming back to CTU right now. I'll take care of everything.
Fine.
Chappelle at CTU.
Here's the situation. We believe Michael Amador is in possession of the Cordilla virus. We believe he is either headed to Los Angeles or is here already. We estimate he has enough of the pathogen to take out a major metropolitan area. Our only lead is Nina Myers, who is being brought back to CTU right now. She thinks Amador is meeting with a man here in Los Angeles by the name of Marcus Alvers. Adam's done a workup on him.
We have some background, but there's nothing that places him definitively in Los Angeles today.
That's it? What about Interpol? What do they have on Alvers?
Our data tracking's a little behind, so we weren't able to access that report.
Why are we behind?
We didn't update the European contact logs while I was down.
Michelle. You were the ranking agent.
I didn't think Europe was a priority.
Obviously it was.
There was a lot going on at the time.
All right. Let's get back to work. And let's try to ease up on the mistakes for the rest of the night, as there are millions of lives depending on us.
Michelle walks off in disgust, not even looking at Tony as she passes him by.
Michelle.
204, Palmer's office.
Tom,
I just got off with CTU.
What's the status on the virus?
Well, it's not good. The limited intelligence they have supports their original suspicion.
It's on its way to Los Angeles.
David, it may already be here.
Then we should be prepared in case they target other cities.
Our people in the security envelope have been alerted. Trust me,
It's being handled. Now, why don't you try and go get some rest? I'm on this.
Mr. President, Mrs. Palmer's here to see you.
Send her in, please. Start waking people up. Set up a conference call with the appropriate cabinet members. Homeland Security, FBI, National Health Services. We're going to need everyone on this one.
Yes, sir.
Wayne.
Sherry, I asked you here to help me, not make things worse. I did not want you going to Alan Milliken's house.
Well, relax, David. I didn't go there.
You didn't go?
No.
When we spoke on the phone, you told me it was crucial that you speak to Julia in person.
Yes, and I changed my mind. I spoke to her over the phone.
About what?
About Kelly's disappearance. I asked her if she would check Alan's cell phone and see if there were any recently made calls.
And?
She wouldn't do it.
Palmer rises from his desk and eyes Sherry with suspicion.
You don't take no for an answer, Sherry. What aren't you telling me?
Nothing, David. I swear.
What have you been up to since we last talked if you weren't at Milliken's?
Making calls.
You could have made them from here.
Yes, but I didn't. I parked on the side of the road. I started making calls because I didn't want to wait. I told you, we have a small window of opportunity here. I wanted to exploit the fact that Milliken may not have had time to cover his tracks when he had someone grab Kelly.
All right.
He returns to his desk.
I have other things to attend to.
Okay. Is there anything else?
That's it.
Palmer writes at his desk. As soon as she leaves, he looks up, deep in thought. 2:07, the airport convoy arrives at CTU, led by an armored prison van. The back doors open to reveal Nina and Jack. Chappelle greets them, and Nina is escorted into the building by security guards.
Hello, Nina. Taking her to interrogation 819.
Yes, sir.
What's the security configuration?
Don't worry about it, Jack. We're handling Nina.
Right, you know what she's capable of.
That's none of your concern right now. I'm sending you to medical to get checked out.
I'm fine.
I don't think you are.
What's this about?
We found evidence you've been injecting heroin. Tell me I'm off here, Jack. Tell me I'm wrong. I didn't think so.
Ryan, I haven't missed a step. I'm fine.
I have to cover my ass. I need to get you checked out.
You're wasting time.
Adam approaches Kim at her desk.
Kim.
Yeah.
I thought you wanted to know your dad's back.
What about Chase?
He's a few minutes behind.
Thank you.
As Kim ponders towards the main entrance to the concourse, the door buzzes, and instead of Jack's friendly, paternal face, she meets face-to-face with Nina Myers, her mother's killer. Kim struggles with herself as Nina gives her one of her cold, wry smiles and is frog-marched to an interrogation cell. Just as Kim begins to cope with the shock, she sees Jack enter through the same doors and runs up to him with huge relief at his safe return.
Kim!
They embrace warmly.
She's here.
I know, sweetheart.
Jack cradles her head as he exchanges cold glances with Nina, who throws one last look over her shoulder before being led away. 2:09. End of part one. 2:13.
Look, I have to debrief Chappelle. I'll see you in a minute, okay?
Dad, I know about your drug problem. Why didn't you come to me with this?
Come here. Come here.
He gives her another reassuring embrace.
I was embarrassed. And it wasn't your problem, and it still isn't. I didn't want you to worry.
Well, is it over?
No, not exactly. I think I'm gonna have to go into a program and get some help.
He kisses her forehead.
Chappelle wants me to go in the clinic and get checked out. Talk about this later, okay?
Okay.
Don't worry. I love you.
Me too.
Jack? I'm glad you're back. It's been difficult without you.
Thanks, Chloe.
As Jack walks guiltily away, Kim notices Chase arrive by the same doorway. Kim immediately walks away and avoids Chase's eyes. 2:15. Julia sits up in bed, hugging her knees for comfort, as downstairs in the kitchen the maid stumbles upon Alan Millican's dead body.
Mr. Millican? Mr. Millican?
Julia hesitates, then hurries downstairs. Meanwhile, back at CTU, Chase approaches Jack in a medical room, who is having a sample of blood syringed from his arm.
Hey, how's the hand?
It's fine. How'd your pal find out?
I don't know, it doesn't really matter. What's going on out there?
Almeida's gonna be interrogating Nina, and I'll follow up from a feed.
Okay, good. Make sure Tony puts double security on the doors. Get back to me as soon as she gives you anything.
Agent Bauer, keep pressure here.
Sure. Thank you.
Jack, you're about to find something out about me that's not going to make you happy.
What are you talking about?
Excuse me. Do you mind?
The doctor leaves.
I've got a daughter.
A daughter?
It was sprung on me a month ago. Her mother dropped her off and she split. It's a long story.
Does Kim know about this?
Yeah.
From you?
I haven't had a chance to talk to her myself yet.
You square this with her, Chase, you understand me? You just make it right. And get back to me as soon as Nina gives you anything.
I will.
Jack watches Chase leave in disbelief. 2:18. In interrogation room 819, Nina sits handcuffed to the table, while on the other side of a two-way mirror, Michelle joins Dalton in the adjoining monitoring room.
Are we up yet?
Yep. Video's piped in. Voice analysis, vitals, transcription. We're all set.
Nick, do you copy?
Yeah, I read you.
We're ready to go.
All right, recording to hard drive now.
So Tony's doing this?
Yeah.
Is that going to be weird for you?
What do you mean?
Didn't he and Nina go out?
Yeah.
We set?
Yeah.
All right. I want you to do a high res on her eyes. She's tired. We might be able to pick up a tell.
Okay.
Tony grabs a personal moment with Michelle.
So we are right. Let's do this.
I got the high res on monitor too.
Tony enters the interrogation room with a large file.
Tony, didn't know I was going to see you today.
You know what we want?
We need to find Michael Amador before he unloads the virus.
I already told Jack everything I know.
I want you to tell me.
First Jack, now you. What does that remind me of?
You told Jack that Amador might try to contact Marcus Alvers?
She sees Tony's wedding ring.
So, where do we look for Alvers?
It's a nice ring. Who's a lucky girl? Hope you did a background check, though, because you don't want to make the same mistake twice.
You're going back to prison. There's a good chance you'll be executed as a traitor. Now, you know if you cooperate, you may be able to save your own life, but you're stalling. Which means you know something, and you still think there's a play you can make. Only now's not the right time.
Very incisive. I hope your wife appreciates that about you.
Why don't you tell me about Alvers?
All I know is that he works only with Amador. I don't know him personally.
Well, all we've been able to dig up on him are a few random medical records under one of his known aliases. He had an MRI on one of his knees. There's a prescription for antibiotics. Treated for HIV.
Her pulse is spiking. Someone hasn't been using protection with Marcus Alvers.
She's probably had sex with him.
Colleagues in the next room tell me that something in those medical records concerns you. I'm guessing it's not the knee.
2:21. Amador climbs down a flight of steps into a grubby side alley. He passes a drug user and approaches a reinforced metal door with a sliding spy hole and knocks. I'm here to see Alvers. The door opens onto a seedy gambling club full of scantily clad prostitutes. Alvers sits at a table playing cards.
Marcus.
Michael. How was your trip?
Interesting.
I still don't understand why you risked so much down in Mexico. Why you didn't come here directly.
A locked side room.
$240 million made it worth the risk.
Amador takes the virus from its case.
What about Nina?
She wasn't killed by the bomb. I'm sure her buyers took care of her once they found out she didn't deliver the virus. Either way, she's out of the picture.
I hope so. She can point to both of us.
We'll be long gone before anyone starts looking.
Alvers places the vial in a sealed incubator. 2:27. Chase and Kim.
Kim. Look, I know we haven't talked since I got back.
No, we haven't.
All right, I know what you must be thinking. You need to give me a chance to explain.
I don't know what to think. I'm happy that you're okay, but this thing... You have a baby, Chase. We've been together for more than 3 months, and you kept this secret from me. Who's the mother? Where does she fit into this?
That's what I want to talk to you about. Okay, I didn't know I had a daughter until a month ago.
How could you not know?
Angela's mother and I went out last year. Okay, it's over, and when it ended, she never told me she was pregnant. Now, she calls a month ago and tells me she has a baby and that I'm the father. And that she's in trouble and she can't handle it. I was afraid to let people find out. I was afraid it was going to mess us up.
But you tell Chloe.
Chloe and my sister have been helping me take care of the baby. She's a good friend.
Excuse me, Chase. You wanted me to let you know when Angela woke up?
Thank you. Kim, I'm just as confused as you are. But all I know is that I love you. And I'm falling in love with Angela, too. And I need to make this work.
Social services hand baby Angela back to a doting Chase as a bewildered Kim looks on from outside. Hey. 2:29. Jack and Chappelle.
What's happening with the Nina interrogation?
They're getting something.
What?
The connection between Albers and Nina might be deeper than we thought.
Well, you better hope she's not just spinning your wheels because she knows how to manipulate our interrogation protocol.
Tony knows what he's doing.
Okay, fine. Look, I need to get together with Chloe. I need everything that she's got on the Amador investigation.
Not yet.
Ryan, look, you're wasting my time. Now, I humored you with the physical, and we both know that my blood work's going to come back with trace amounts of opiates, but enough is enough.
Yeah. Ray Plachecki from the Inspector General's office is here. She wants to talk to you.
Well, this is not the time.
Actually, it is. You'll talk to her, then we'll evaluate whether you can go back to work or not. Come on.
Jack stops Chappelle, considers, then walks on ahead towards Plachecki's temporary office.
Ray Plachecki, this is Jack Bauer.
You know the drill, Jack. I'm going to ask you some questions, but I want you to know I'm on your side. We just want to establish that this heroin addiction was a necessary part of your cover.
It was necessary to maintain my cover. Are we done now?
Sit down, Jack.
Jack sits before video monitoring equipment that scrutinizes his facial expression.
This is Ray Plachecki. The time is 2:31 a.m. This is the interrogation of Jack Bauer, director of Field Ops CTU. Ryan Chappelle is present. Jack, tell us how you established your cover with Ramon Salazar.
I first came in contact with the Salazars approximately 2 years ago. They were an up-and-coming narcotic cartel coming out of Mexico.
So when did you meet Amador?
Nina stonewalls Tony's questions.
Did you know him when you were working at CTU? Tell me something, Nina. What kind of a deal do you think you're going to cut? Betrayed everybody you know, including me. You murdered Jack's wife. You helped terrorists smuggle a nuclear bomb into this country. You're helping to unleash a deadly virus into the general population. Help me understand this. What do you want? What is it you get out of being a mass murderer?
Your neck is bleeding.
Tony fiddles with a bandage on his neck. Blood wets his fingertips. Nina looks down, empty and defeated. 2:32. The interrogation runs dry. Tony leaves the room and joins Dalton and Michelle next door for information on Nina's reactions.
Dalton, what do you got?
So far, the only reactions we're getting from her are subliminal. If she's not going to say anything, we need to be more plugged into her vitals. We could take her down to 7, give her a passive response test.
7's not secure enough. She stays here. Where's Richards?
He's waiting.
All right, let's bring him in.
Send Darren in.
Tony returns to the interrogation room to be joined by Darren Richards, a specialist in chemical torture methods, who arrives carrying 2 very large metallic cases full of syringes and drugs. Nina gives him a playful smile and sizes him up.
Nina, I don't think you've met Darren Richards. He joined us after you left.
Hello, Darren.
Don't take it personally. He doesn't talk much.
Richards takes out a particularly large syringe and readies it for use. 2:33. End of part 2. 2:38.
Something's not connecting up for me, Jack. You say that you weren't in with the Salazars until early February, but the first time you started using was late December. That's 6 weeks of shooting up for the benefit of no one. Am I missing something?
I was trying to pass myself off as a junkie. I wanted to be prepared.
What do you mean, prepared?
The Salazars live their entire lives in the drug world. If I couldn't handle the narcotics that went with that territory, they'd have known I was a cop and they'd have killed me. I needed to be able to handle it.
Yeah, that makes sense. But in January, when you were putting needles in your arm, you didn't have a meeting on the books with these guys. It could have been a year for all you knew.
What are you saying?
I am trying to establish incontrovertible evidence that you did drugs as part of your cover. If I submit what you just told me, it's not going to hold up, Jack.
What do you want me to say? I did drugs to get in with these people, and I got in with them. No matter how difficult it's been, I don't use anymore.
Look, I'll write it up that way, and maybe it'll fly, but I just think you're going to have a problem because you never told anyone, not even your partner. That's suspicious.
Ray, you know my history. I've had a very difficult time since my wife passed away. If I told anyone that I was using drugs to develop a case, they would have misinterpreted it. I couldn't afford that risk.
Yeah, well, that's what they're gonna do now.
Ray. Let's put down that Jack started using heroin in late January after the first meeting with Salazar was established.
I appreciate what you're trying to do, Ryan, but that's not what happened.
Just trying to save us all some paperwork.
I'm okay with that.
I'm not. I started using in December. I've got nothing to hide. This office demands results. And that's what I provide. Results.
Fine.
Can I get back to work?
Not quite yet, Jack.
Да, да, я понимаю. Нет, это
No, it's secure and we have it. It will be as arranged.
Ну, хорошо.
You'll be here in an hour.
Just as long as we have enough time to leave the country before they let this virus out.
2:41. Palmer chairs an emergency meeting.
Please be seated. Five hours ago, I went public with a statement that there was a domestic terror threat, but it had passed. And now it appears that that was premature. Ladies and gentlemen, do we or do we not have a threat of this virus being released?
Sir, I'm afraid we can't answer that question with any kind of certainty.
What can you tell me, Mr. Hammond?
What few leads we have indicate that Michael Amador has the virus and is in Los Angeles. For what purpose, we can't say.
Then we have to prepare for defensive action here in Los Angeles. And for that matter, in all of our major cities.
Mr. President, you know our position here at Homeland Security. We think being forthright with the public and making such preparations in the open is the correct course.
Again, we have to assess the downside of that course.
I have no problem with that, Mr. President, as long as we realize we are working against a clock.
I want all departments present to work up an open versus covert containment strategy and report back to me in 30 minutes. In the meantime, I want health services to issue guidelines, but only to be distributed internally. That is all. I'll be in my office.
A tired Palmer retires to an adjacent office.
David.
Seeing the aide, Wayne falls silent.
Give us a second, please, Aaron.
Of course, sir.
Wayne watches Aaron leave, then speaks.
Secret Service just received a phone call from the West Los Angeles Police Department. Alan Milliken is dead.
What?
He was found 15 minutes ago in his home. All signs point to a heart attack.
It isn't possible.
Well, apparently it is. You told me Sherry was on her way over there about an hour ago.
She changed her mind, made some phone calls from her car, came straight back here.
David, is that what she told you?
Yeah.
And where is she now?
Resting.
2:43. Palmer leaves.
Aaron, take me to Sherry.
Yes, sir. She's right this way.
Hasn't your shift in?
I stayed on. Since it's a difficult day and I wanted to be here for you.
I appreciate that.
Right in there, sir.
Sherry lies sleeping on a chic leather sofa.
Sherry.
David. What's wrong?
Alan Milliken is dead.
What? How?
Why don't you tell me?
What do you mean? I told you I didn't go there.
I know what you told me. You sat in your car, you made some phone calls, and you came straight here.
Yes, and that's the truth.
Then you won't mind the police checking your cell phone and the car you used tonight.
You know, you asked me to take care of a problem, and I did. If you want the police to check phone logs, then have them check yours first. Because remember, you called me tonight. I am here because of you, David.
What happened, Sherry?
I went over to the house just to speak to Julia. Alan interrupted us. There was an argument, and he had a heart attack.
Sherry begins to look sheepish. Palmer looks her straight in the eye. She looks down and tries to avoid his scrutinizing gaze.
There's going to be an investigation. You're going to have to tell the truth about this.
The truth isn't going to save either one of us. All they're going to hear is that I was there on your behalf to prevent Alan from meddling with your presidency and that he died from natural causes. Now, how do you think that's going to play out in the New York Times for the next 6 months?
What did you do to Alan?
Honestly, David? Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
2:46. Kim and Adam.
Kim, I transferred that feed to your system. Do you want me to pull it up for you now?
Yeah.
Adam taps into the computer and brings up footage of Nina being injected in the neck with a large hypodermic. Nina doesn't even blink.
I don't think she's going to give them anything. We're going to have to find Marcus Alvarez by ourselves.
What can I do?
I followed up with some of his Asian connections, but in the meantime, there's something I want you to look at. It's a long shot.
What is it?
It's a list of cities where Marcus Alvarez has been in the last 3 years, each time only for a couple of days. Maybe he was meeting somebody. Cross it with the other suspects in our database. Let me know what you come up with, okay?
Okay.
Nina shudders as the pain takes effect.
Look, I don't know why we have to go through this again. I already answered that.
What is it, Edmonds?
Just want to give you an update on Nina.
Ray, could you pause that?
She give us anything new on Alvarez?
No. Other than the probability she knew him personally, she's not cooperating.
What are we doing?
Richards is working on her now.
I think that's a mistake.
Why?
I don't think anybody should be in there that hasn't worked with her before, doesn't know what she's capable of. She'll manipulate him.
All Richards does is inflict pain. There's no way for her to manipulate him.
Right. Tony watches as a long tube feeds the hypodermic agony into Nina's neck. She braces herself, her eyes wide with pain, then collapses her head as the syringe is withdrawn.
How much more of this you want into her, Nina?
Nina looks at him in cold defeat.
I think this is about it.
She forces herself backwards, and the syringe rips into her artery. Four, 2:52.
So what did Sherry have to say?
That Alan had a heart attack.
And you believe her?
I'd be a fool to believe anything Sherry says to save herself. But murder? I can't imagine she'd do that.
David, we can't allow ourselves to be caught off guard this time. Now we have to assume the worst.
We'd also have to assume that Julia was somehow involved.
What? What? Oh, whoa, listen. David, I'm sorry, but Julia's not the same kind of person that Sherry is.
When we find out all the facts, we'll proceed from there.
I have to go over the morning brief with Jerry.
All
right. 2:54. Wayne leaves and immediately phones Julia, who stands outside her house, surrounded by police and ambulance crew wheeling a stretcher.
Hello?
Julia, it's me.
Wayne?
I just heard about Alan and I... Are you alone?
The police are here. I was just going to speak with one of the officers.
All right, tell me, what happened?
Wayne, Sherry was here when it happened. But she told me not to tell the police.
Julia, I need for you to tell me exactly what happened over there, all right?
We were talking with Alan. He got excited. Then he started to gasp for air. He gets angina.
So you called 911, right?
No, I tried to give him his medication.
What do you mean you tried?
Sherry stopped me.
I went to help Alan, but she grabbed my arm.
I just stood there. I couldn't move. I killed him, Wayne.
Shh. All right, listen to me carefully, all right?
I killed him.
Call Alan's lawyer and do not say anything to anyone until he gets there. You understand me?
Wayne, could you come down here and help me?
No, and please don't call me.
I will help you, Julia, I will.
But for right now, I have to keep my distance. I'm sorry.
Nina's wheeled into an operating theater and lifted onto the table.
One, two, three. Carotid's been lacerated. Start a twilight drip.
Yes, doctor.
Clamp.
Mine, please.
Keep steady pressure.
Yes, doctor. Okay. Got it in? Yeah,
I
got it around here.
306.
30 standing by.
More gauze.
Gauze. Got it open.
Okay, clamp it.
Here you go, doctor.
Keep the pressure off.
Yes, sir. Let's get some more gauze in here.
Okay, she's under. I want you two stationed right here. Do not leave unless you hear directly from me.
2:56. Nina makes herself momentarily black out by pinching a tube and blocking her saline drip. Surgeons operate to repair her severed artery.
Okay, Jack, those are all the questions I'm obliged to ask.
If you got anything else you want to add, Jack, now would be the time.
That's my statement, as it is.
My God, Tony!
Nina tried to commit suicide. She jammed her neck into Richard's needle, ruptured an artery.
Where is she now?
She's in the clinic being operated on.
Who's with her?
Don't worry, Jack. She's sitting
there. Who's with her
now? Sorry, go
on. Tony, who's with her? Damn it.
Jack dashes out of the interview room and across the concourse, closely followed by Tony. Jack draws his weapon and bursts to the door of the clinic. The operating table is empty, except for a bloodstain. All around are the corpses of surgeons and the two posted guards. Only a traumatized nurse remains alive.
Look at the building!
This is Ryan Chappelle.
Nina Myers is loose in the building. Lock it down. Now!
In the chaos, Kim runs along a corridor and sees the murdered body of a security guard lying at the bottom of some stairs. She looks around for help, but no one is on hand. She braves the stairs and checks for a pulse. He's dead. Below his blood-stained shirt, she notices a pistol in its holster. She grabs it and decides to pursue her mother's killer. Meanwhile, Sherry sweats it out in the district office building. Julia holds her own against the police as her husband's body is wheeled into an ambulance, and Wayne frets over the possible fallout of Alan Milliken's death. Jack searches for Nina, his gun raised and ready. Kim opens the door to a basement computer room and finds Nina frantically ripping out circuitry in the hope of escape. Kim decides to confront her and aims her gun directly at Nina.
Nina, drop the gun. Put your hands on your head. Now.
She immediately perceives that Kim is alone.
Kim, what the hell are you doing? You don't want to be any part of this. Shut up. Just turn around and walk away. If you leave now, you won't get hurt.
Nina slowly raises her gun at Kim.
Nina, I swear to God, I'll shoot you. You won't kill me. Nina, damn it.
Get back up. Back up.
Jack wounds Nina, who collapses on the floor.
Kim, I want you to go back in the CTU. Tell them we've got Nina.
Dad, listen to me. We need...
Kim, go now. Please, baby, just go.
As Kim leaves, Nina tries to reach for her gun, but Jack has her covered. She capitulates with Jack towering over her stricken body, his gun aimed at her blood-soaked chest.
You don't have any more useful information, do you, Nina?
The two adversaries stare each other out, eyeball to eyeball. Nina makes an enfeebled attempt to reach her gun. Gunsmoke swirls around Jack's head as Nina lies dead on the ground. The score is finally settled. 3 a.m. The end.